We have been together all week, and haven't we had a nice time? It has been such a blessing to me. What is going to happen, but I always know I'm going to learn a lot and be blessed myself as I share with others. And I learn so much from your stories, from the things that you have to share. And as I was sharing with a friend today, we were discussing the fact that any time this world has been on the verge of a great deliverance, there has been an unparalleled attack on children. Now think about it. In the land of Egypt, right before there was a great deliverance, there was an amazing attack on the infant Hebrew children. Right before the deliverer was raised up in Jerusalem, there was an unmitigated attack up and down the coast of Bethlehem on the children. And we are on the verge. We are on the verge of the last and final great deliverance. Amen? And there is an unmitigated attack on children like we have never seen. Not only do we see children in foreign lands orphaned as a result of these cataclysmic events that are occurring, we see children in Africa, 8 and 9 years old, bereft of their parents, who are heads of households. We see children in this country being completely decimated by the culture war that is attacking their very viability. We see children in unstable homes, being taken from abusive homes, foster homes. This type of thing is like never before. And abuse in the foster homes, abuse in the humanitarian agencies. We've been reading about this. We see cloning. And now the new thing in Britain, they've just passed legislation. Doctor, I don't know if you've read about this, but they're using animal cells with human cells now. So there is this cross-species cloning. And it was just passed by the legislature. This isn't out of Mother Earth news. And so this is one of the reasons why I believe that God has his hand over individuals and people to raise up deliverance, to raise up hope in a world that is losing hope. And your light shines brightest when it's dark, doesn't it? You can have the tiniest little light, but when it's dark, it really shines. And it will shine brighter and brighter and brighter. And I am very thankful for a ministry that has been raised up right in this conference. And the conference president is so excited about this ministry. This is one of the reasons why I'm so excited about the It's My Very Own Bag ministry. And I want to highlight that to you because I really believe that this is one of the closing ministries, to have this ministry toward families and children, bringing healing to communities. We will see the results. The meetings this week have not just been for the purpose of bringing personal information. My objectives have been twofold. My objectives have been to bring you information and motivation and inspiration at the personal level. But as a church member, it is also my goal to create a larger picture of what God is going to use you to do. And you may think that your light is so small. You may think that your sphere of influence is so small. But as you humbly profess what you know, you will grow in grace and truth. What is grace? What is grace? What is it? Grace is power. It is the personal presence of Christ in our souls. It's power. And that's what we need. And so I want to encourage you to get involved with these kinds of ministries. I want to I want to praise God for the fact that God has given His people a ministry of hope. I want to share a statement with you that is probably one of my favorites. In Acts of the Apostle 3:64 and 3:65, we read this: "The Savior went from house to house, healing the sick, comforting the mourners, soothing the afflicted, speaking peace to the disconsolate. He took the little children in his arms and blessed them and spoke words of hope and comfort to weary mothers. With unfailing tenderness and gentleness, he met every form of woe and affliction. Not for himself, but for others did he labor. He was the servant of all. It was his meat and drink to bring hope and strength to all with whom he came in contact. And as men and women listened to the truths that fell from his lips, so different from the traditions and dogmas taught by the rabbis, hope sprang up in their hearts. In his teaching, there was an earnestness that sent his words home with convincing power. God's ministers are to learn Christ's method of laboring." I learned very early on in my ministry, I feel personally that it is an honor to do anything in God's work. And did you know that Ellen White says that whatever we do to encourage anyone heavenward is storing up treasure in heaven? I just can't even fathom that. But I feel it is an honor and a privilege to work in the church, to be a conference worker. I feel it's an honor and a privilege to be a church member and have a part to play in any capacity in God's work. All of the materials that we have produced belong to the church. We get nothing. We get no royalties. When we came into this ministry, when Dane and I were hired as a team, we owned the Lifestyle Matters name. We gave it to the church. God gets all the glory. It's His church that is to be honored in this work. And we are laborers together with Him. And it's amazing the miracles that He works, the connections that you make with people. And we're talking about making connections. Connectedness with each other. Connectedness with our community. Connectedness with our families is as an important part of Christian living and overcoming addictions as diet and exercise and sleep and Bible study and prayer. It is a part of the process of enlarging our vision and becoming bigger people. It is essential. Long-term success in lifestyle programs or any other kind of program is almost impossible without connections. And so we're going to talk about connections today, creating connections socially and in ministry. And our handout today is up here, and it's called Designer Activities for an Enriched Life. And it is actually a smaller version of an entire section in this book, Designer Activities for an Enriched Life, which of course has all the pretty pictures to go with it. And I think I told you that when Dr. Lawrence held a Living Free program in his office, he had 70 patients sign up. Only 35 could sit in the waiting room, and 15 are taking Bible studies. You think he's happy he gave up one day a week for 6 weeks? One evening, one two-hour slot a week? It is absolutely incredible. He's thinking about raising up a company in Southfield because he couldn't fit all the people in his program and call it the Living Free Fellowship, the Living Free Seventh-day Adventist Church. So we are praising God for this work that is going forward. We are so thankful. Making connections. I don't have any Balanced magazines with me. We've given them all away. I don't know if anybody has one on them. Probably not. If somebody has one, I'd love to hold it. I see a couple people looking. When we travel, I hate traveling. I absolutely detest traveling. I get lost all the time. It's okay. You don't need to go. You got one? All right, that's great. Well, the only thing I like about traveling, because I get lost, we need GPSs for me and everything. My husband invested in a GPS because he said, I will never see you again. I even get lost in public restrooms, coming in and out. I'll go in the broom closet. I get completely disoriented. It's just unbelievable. Dane used to call me every 5 minutes when I was driving to an appointment to see where I was. It was that bad. So he finally bought me this GPS, and I'm really, 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 yes, I'll take two, because it's two different topics. Thank you very much. What a nice class. Yes, I'll give it back. But the only thing I really like about traveling is sharing these magazines. They're beautiful. I don't know if you've looked at them. They're 16 pages. We have a new one on press right now on depression. This is all sponsored by the conference. And Adventist Health Systems gave us a grant to develop these. So they're very nice to use in doctor's offices, clinics, just for handouts. But I always travel with these. And one time, Dane and I were in Memphis on our way to an appointment. We were at the Memphis airport. And it is one of the worst airports. If you want to get a healthy meal, the only thing in Memphis is ribs and Elvis Presley memorabilia. That's the whole airport is about Elvis Presley and ribs. And so we were having a rough time at this airport. And so we went to this restaurant, and we sat down, and we tried to order something that was just mildly disgusting. And we asked the girl to make just a couple of little changes on this thing. And she was so put out. She said, well, you know what this means. It means that your ticket is going to be on the back of the line because people don't have time to do this in that kitchen. And she just reamed us out. And I think we just wanted one little change on this thing. And we just looked at her and said, you know, it's okay. We don't mind waiting. So we'll be fine. Just do what you can. And if you can't do it, it's all right. So she finally brings out our food and she just slams it on the table. And we guiltily ate our meal. And when we left, Dane always leaves a tip, but he puts the tip in a magazine. And it's sticking out. So one of our issues, we have six different issues of this. There are six topics, and our seventh one is in development right now. It's on depression. And so he put it on the table, and it was the one about stress and junk food. And as we walked out, she said, what'd you put on that table? Just like that. She was very nasty. And I'm sitting these right here, folks, the folks that loaned them to me. And I looked at her and I said, well, you know, I can only imagine how stressful it is waiting on busy travelers. It just must be a real challenge for you. See, we don't say things like, we don't use words like problem or sin or, you know, you're disgusting. We don't do things like that. In public communications, people only have challenges. And then you let them say what they're going to say. And so, anyway, I said this. I said, you know, it must be very challenging working with the public. And she said, they're devils, every one of them. This is what she said. And I just caught right on to that attitude with her because I understand. I said, man, rotten to the core. Maybe one out of five is halfway decent. She said, that's it. And then she just completely, her shoulders dropped and her body language changed. And she said, you know, I'm diabetic. I'm overweight. I'm a single mother. I'm working two jobs. I'm absolutely exhausted, and I know that the way I am living and eating is affecting me and my children, and I'm ready to just blow. That's what, all in one paragraph. Just one opening. Just one little kindness shown. One little word of paying attention to somebody else. And her whole world just opened up to a total stranger. That's the kind of isolated, lonely world that we live in. And I just put my arm around her and gave her a big hug. I said, I am so sorry for what you are experiencing right now. And I'll bet you're feeling pretty helpless. She said, I am. And I said, but you know, do you think maybe there are some areas where you can get some energy and strength that perhaps you hadn't thought of before? And she said, oh, I need that. And I said, well, God really cares about you. And He has some very simple ways that you can begin to get strength for your life. And she said, I'll read that magazine. I really need it. I mean, she was completely changed. I could have signed her up for Bible studies right then and there. And so what we need to do as God's people, we need to realize the promise that Ellen White has given, that light seekers will be brought to light bearers. That's a promise. It doesn't even have to say that I have to go seek them in that particular promise. It says they will be brought to me. And I have noticed that when I am traveling, when I have my magazines and my literature with me, there is no end to the community. I can be so self-absorbed and so selfish. And the minute I start connecting with other people, my whole picture changes. Ellen White says that our own salvation is wrapped up in this. One time I was getting on a flight, and because I fly so much now, I'm in first class a lot of the time. And this one particular trip I was making from Detroit to California, you know, Detroit is Motown. And there were four men that came into the waiting area to get on the plane. And they were four black men about my age. They were kind of oldish. And they had on so much gold and diamonds. I've never seen so much glitter. They had on diamond necklaces and big diamond rings and bracelets. And I was just overwhelmed to see men that were, you know, grandfather age with all of this stuff on. And so then I noticed this whole entourage around them, just making sure everything was all right for these guys, and they were loud and kind of joking and laughing like they were very used to this scenario. And so I got in the airplane, and one of them sat next to me, and he had this huge diamond ring on, and it said DE. And I noticed one of the other men turned around. He had a leather jacket on. It said Temptations on it. And, you know, I remember the Temptations. I heard it through the grapevine. And so I looked at this man, and I was planning on sleeping. I'm really a quiet person. When I'm by myself, I like to read and mind my own business. That is it. I don't run around, you know, trying to start conversations just normally. It's not my thing. But I looked at this man, and I said, are you a Temptation? And he laughed, and he said, sister, I am the original Temptation. And then he flashed his ring at me, Dennis Edwards. It was Dennis Edwards, the original Temptation, one of the Temptations. Some of the others had died, prostate cancer, alcoholism, drug overdose, you know, different things. And they had been replaced. But I was sitting next to the boss man. And we began to share together and talk. And again, I had no intention of spending a lot of time discussing anything with anybody. It's never my intention. But when you have literature that God wants to get into people's hands, He has a different plan for your day. Well, we ended up talking all the way across the United States, all the way to California, Orange County. He said people love to have us come and do programs when they don't want cussing, because the older style music didn't have swearing in it. And so they are always invited to do these more family-oriented events. And then he started to complain to me about his daughter and her boyfriend, how the way she dressed and the rap music and how the Diddy, whatever his name is, and all these people are buying $20,000 rims for their tires, and they don't have IRAs, and they think it's going to last forever. And then he would punctuate what he was saying. He'd say, you know, I'm afraid for the future. I'm just so afraid for the future. And I kept picking up this tone in what he was saying. And so I asked him, I said, well, you know, do you believe in God? And he said, yes. He said, I believe in God. And I said, God does not want your life to be filled with fear. He has a plan for you, and He knows what's going to happen, and He'll protect His people. So we had this conversation all the way across the United States. And when I was done, I felt very impressed to give him a Final Events DVD. That is it's a DVD that you can watch about what's going to happen at the end of time, and then you can get Bible studies. And when he got that, I said, you know what? This DVD is going to give your heart peace. I said, I don't do this for everybody, but but I am going to give you this DVD. And he stood up in the airplane, because he's the boss. He pays their paychecks. They all answer to him. God sat me next to the boss of this entire group of 16 people. And he said, look at this. We don't have to have fear. He said, tonight, my room, we're watching it. And they said, yes, we'll watch it. And so this is what God does when we're only willing. And when you hand out a Balance magazine, there's a space in there in every magazine to have a Bible study, to sign up for a Bible study. So what I want to do now is I want to show you how the Lord, you know, the Lord says, don't despise the day of small things. There's a woman in Marshall, Michigan, who began a supper club. Every month she would have this little event. She had about 5 people coming to this thing. But over time it grew. And within 3 years, she had 80 people coming to that thing, including the mayor, every month. She'd go to Dollar General and get all these crazy things to decorate with. And when we went to a dermatologist's office to do our Living Free program, about half of her supper club people transitioned right over into that evangelistic program in the doctor's office. And out of that group, another very large subsection transitioned right into Bible study. So you see, evangelism is a process, not an event. And we need to remember this. We need to remember that you don't just start with a huge event with millions of people come and the police are directing traffic. Oh, sure, we would all love that to happen, but that's not what's going to happen. Evangelism is a process that grows over time. There was a nurse in Detroit who held the Simple Solutions program. She had 30 people come to her program and was just delighted with that. Then for several months she had a supper club. Then she had the next one, Foods for Thought. She had 60 attend that. She waited several more months, and then she said, hey, go get your friends. And by the time she held her Living Free program, 90 people. It took 1 year, but she had 90 people holding steady after a year in her church, ready to transition right into evangelism. So evangelism is a process. We used to call, in Adventist church, we used to call our programs, our evangelistic programs, reaping events, because we did the necessary pre-work. That's why we've developed these magazines, is so that you can go out in your community with these magazines and get people ready to come to your meetings. You can make some friends. Amen? We've got to understand that it's a process, and you've got to follow up, and you've got to do your pre-work. Well, right now, what I want to show you is a very short DVD, I think it's about 8 minutes, of testimonies of participants who attended from two different locations, who attended a Living Free program, two different doctor's offices.
It gives you the chance to actually change the way you live, to make some good choices in life.
I guarantee you that lifestyle will make a difference in your life.
I love the Living Free seminars. The Living Free seminar helped me to overcome some bad habits of mine and give me hope that I can continue to do this for the rest of my life.
If I could summarize the Living Free seminars, I would say they are a wonderful experience filled with fun, good food, education, and wisdom.
Well, I've learned a lot about healthy eating. I've practically changed my whole diet. I've stayed away from fast foods all for the last 3 weeks in a row. Stayed away from candies, which is one of my big problems. And I think I've lost a couple of pounds as a result.
I love the food here. The food here is excellent. I never saw myself eating healthy foods. It was like, oh, no.
For me, the Living Free seminar has helped me in different directions of life, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, to make good choices and to practice them.
There are positive people here, there's positive messages being relayed, and it's learning. They teach you how to eat healthier and to be healthy.
Well, I've learned so much. I've learned how to be a different person. Yeah, I've had a lot of fun.
I am so upbeat over living well and living free.
These lifestyle classes have motivated me to get back onto the pathway with which I wanted to take.
One of the biggest things for me is eating out of control. Kind of fasting and binging has been my habit for years. And so that's kind of why I came. That was the habit that I wanted to control. And I really learned a lot of tips.
I came first off to the stress and depression group, and this kind of followed with it. But I wanted to learn more about how I could control my brain and take control of my own life and put God first.
It's just a great ride, and I hope I stay on it for the rest of my life.
I am definitely eating better than I was. And one thing that I didn't do before I came was eat breakfast, and I have eaten breakfast for 3 weeks now and feel much better, much better.
I have more energy. I get up on time. It has really changed my life to stop drinking so much pop with caffeine in it.
Getting plenty of rest, eating better foods, I think that's going to help me.
The information I learned from this seminar was extremely practical, and I wish I could get all my friends and family to come with me.
The information that we're learning is very practical, very applicable, easy to do. I think anyone could really apply it.
Well, it's helped me learn to sleep better. I've given up a few things, like a more television than I've been needing to have, and reading more, having more time to, I'm more energized.
I've changed the way I've been eating, doing breakfast in the morning, and adding more exercise, and I've been feeling a lot better, healthier, more energized.
But now my blood sugar is more under control. Now my blood pressure, went to the doctor today, my blood pressure 130 over 80. It's been years since my pressure have been like that.
I got a lot out of it. I enjoyed it. I feel stronger. I'm feel like I have a little bit more control in my life, and I have lost some weight, too.
I was into the doctor's office about 3 weeks ago, and my blood pressure was 153 over 90, and when I went in this week, it was 130 over 80.
Yes, I've been addicted to candy for quite a long time, and even though it's only been a week, tomorrow I have been candy-free, which is still a big milestone for me because I usually eat candy every day.
I've lost 7 pounds effortlessly, and I've joined programs and paid lots and lots of money and couldn't even have that much success. So this has just been phenomenal. It's just been a phenomenal experience for me. It really fills you up throughout the day, so I don't find myself sitting at the desk snacking all day.
It's made me more conscious of my bad habits, which is overeating, and how to overcome them.
If I could summarize the Living Free Seminar in one sentence, I suppose it would be there is hope for everybody. It doesn't matter what type of habit you have or what situation you are in, you can always, there's hope.
Not only did this give me hope that I would change, I know I can change.
That I can truly live free, even if it's at 43 years old.
The seminar definitely gives you hope. Definitely gives you hope.
The Living Free Seminar has shown me that I don't have to stay chained to an addiction. There's hope to get out of any behavior that you want to change. And it's just really taught me a lot.
To this day, I have lost 15 pounds, and I'm proud.
I know that I could not have gotten it anyplace else. At this cost,
I would go back again. It's too short.
In order to feel better, we have to eat better. We have to.
Drop the weight like that. Haven't seen the weight since. Don't want to see the weight.
If someone asked me if they should come to a Living Free seminar, I would say by all means. You leave happy. When you get home, you had a great, fulfilling evening, and it's always good.
I told my aunt, and she wasn't able to make it to the meeting, but she came up the next day and bought 3 books for her and her friends.
If they live close or if they live far, they need a ride, give me a call in enough time. I come and get you.
If this came here again, I would definitely attend again. I just thought it was fabulous.
Yeah, I think it helps to come to the meeting. I think you get a lot out of it.
The Living Free class has inspired me so much that I get on the telephone and I'm calling up all of my friends telling them that they should be going.
Even if they think they won't get anything out of this or that they don't need it, that they will walk away with a lot of new ideas on how to improve their life in general, in all areas.
I highly recommend it for everybody.
And I would like to start one in my own hometown.
Did you notice the theme? Hope. I have hope. This is one thing, and none of this was scripted. This was Jesus. It was his meat and drink to bring hope. When I first joined the Michigan Conference, I thought it was my job to fix everybody that I came in contact with. But now I realize that it is much better for me to give 15% information and 85% hope. Because with hope, they can do the 15%. If people don't have hope, they can have all the information in the world. The thing that surprised me, this was one of our pilot programs. We were just breaking out, just starting. And a number of the people came and said, you know, if you held this again next week, we'd come again. We'd bring more friends. And that's kind of the woman at the well model of evangelism. The Lord talked to her. She got excited and she ran and got her friends and bring them back. And so it was a thrilling experience for us. And it's one that you can have too. Let's take a look now about health evangelism. Why do we do this? Why is it connected with our message? Why is it important? Why is it urgent? You know, I've done this for 5 days now, and I still can't remember what time this class ends. What time does it end? Let's see. It started at what time? When am I done? Okay, we're good. We're good. There are certain things I just don't pay attention to as I should. Time being one of them. All right, today we're talking about changing lives for good. Why health evangelism? Why are we called to connect with people with this amazing message? Listen to this. The special work for this time must be done in reaching the people through what kind of effort? Personal effort. It is this kind of labor that will be how successful? Highly successful. How many of you would like to be involved in something that's going to be highly successful? Absolutely. So often we think of the pastor as being the one that is supposed to be doing the soul winning. No, it's the church members that are supposed to be doing the soul winning. That's why we love to go and do ministerial retreats and teach the pastors how to get their congregations involved in this kind of work. This is one of the reasons that I think that these programs are so popular is because of the fact that there's such a high social element in them. We have designed these to be very friendly, very integrative, very social. You're not standing up there doing cooking demonstrations. You're just sitting down eating with people. The recipes are too easy. It would be very boring to watch the demonstration. And so this is one of those events, just people enjoying the health presentations and the lifestyle features and mingling. And I like this personal promise. Strength to resist evil is best gained by what kind of service? Aggressive service. Now you notice it doesn't say aggressive people. It says aggressive service. And I am just amazed when, you know, with my background, I wasn't a really strong or healthy person when I entered this work, but it seems like the more I am involved in ministry, the stronger I get and the less sick I get. It's incredible, and it's just been an amazing experience for me. I used to think if I, you know, just had to travel too much or if I spoke too hard or whatever it is, I'd get sick, and none of that happens anymore. Now, this is Eric Pletcher. He's a really amazing part of our team. He's about 60 pounds overweight at this photo. And how many of you have had a chance to look through the Living Free book and see the design of the book? It's quite beautiful, isn't it? That is Eric's work. He also is the person that does the complete layout and design of our Balance magazines. Eric is a very gifted man, and the way that we met Eric is that we had put together our first module, the Simple Solutions module, and Eric lived in Ohio, and he was unemployed. He was a, what do they call these people that do all this, a designer. He was a, you know, graphics designer and a cigarette company and a hamburger company, the Crystal Burgers or something. I don't know if we have those in Michigan, but anyway, they wanted to hire him, and he did not want to go and design cigarette boxes and burger boxes. And so he was having a hard time with an employment decision, and the pastor of the church approached him and said, "Well, Eric, you know, since you don't have anything to do, since you're unemployed, why don't you hold a Simple Solutions program and Foods for Thought, which is our next one?" And so he thought, "Well, I might as well. I don't have anything else to do right now. All my resumes are out, and I'm just bored and depressed and feeling bad." And so he and his wife, Sharon, went ahead, and he designed these amazing ads for this program. What he did is he did something a little different. We've produced so much material. It's kind of like a cafeteria of materials. You can do what you want with it. So he put together a one-day health fair at the town hall. And in the morning, he did a stress emphasis. And in the afternoon, he did the Foods for Thought emphasis for teachers. So he advertised it two different ways. And then in between were food sampling. He had booths up. He had a health fair with blood pressure checks and all this stuff. He had an amazing facts booth up for Bible study interests. And it was like this fanfare in the town. And he had signs all over the place pointing to this place. And he asked Dane and I to come. And we did. And so we did the presentations, and they had this health fair. Do you know, in that one day, 12 people signed up for Bible studies. Just one event, one day. It was so amazing. And that's how we met Eric. And when we met Eric, we said, "Man, we think that Hamblin, that designs all this, they're into all this Bible stuff and pamphlets and brochures, and we're going to be doing a magazine and more books. Maybe they'd be interested in you." Well, make a long story short, now not only does Eric do the design work for all of our materials, but he is actually buying out half the company, and he's in charge of all the artwork division. That's what God did for one unemployed man who was depressed and overweight. And his story is amazing. He gives his testimony on the first evening of the Living Free program, which you didn't get to see. But at every interview, after every interview, there's a testimony. And his testimony is in the book and on the DVD. He was bulimic, anorexic, and obese. And he used drugs and alcohol, and he smoked. And his testimony is in this book and how he has overcome this. And do you think that doesn't help people when they hear that someone has had that kind of journey? And look what God is using him to do now. We've had people pick up one magazine and sign up for Bible studies. This is his wife, Sharon. She's an amazing woman. You saw her testimony. She's the one with the prosthetic leg that had polio. Remember her doing the rowing? And she saw her stepfather shoot her mother to death. He didn't see it happen, but it happened in her bedroom when she was young. She was 2 years in a cast for polio. Her comfort was that people would bring her food when she was in this body cast for 2 years. So she's had some real challenges with her weight and her self-image and a lot of things. But through involvement with the ministry and through being involved in ministry, she's lost 20 inches. They've adopted 5 children, which, you know, my hat is off to anybody that would do that. And she's off 5 different cholesterol and blood pressure medication. I don't think she takes any medication now. She's getting trim, and God is blessing their lives. He's just pouring his blessing out on these people. And it all began with them saying, "Yeah, I'll do a program. Yeah, I'll do one thing." In the family circle and in the church, now, are these perfect people that are holding these programs? Do they look like Ken and Barbie dolls? No, of course not. The Lord says, use what you have. Do what you have. As you humbly profess what you know, you will grow. In the family circle and in the church, we should place Christian temperance on an elevated platform. Intemperance lies at the foundation of all the evil in our world. All of it. Now watch this. Temperance alone is the foundation of all the graces. that come from God, the foundation of all the victories that are to be gained. Let's remember something. Temperance is not something that we do. The fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance, correct? It is the ability to make positive choices on a consistent basis. That's another way of saying it. Temperance is not something you do. It is a personality trait of God that He implants within our hearts as a seed, and then we practice, and then it grows. It's not something you do. It's a characteristic of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says these are durable riches. Amen? Better than gold and silver. When we say, well, I can't hold a program, I'm not temperate. Well, do you want to get some of these fruits going in your life? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. If you want gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance, just start working with people. Many, many will be rescued from physical, mental, and moral degeneracy. Physical, mental, and moral degeneracy through the practical influence of health reform. I tell you, there are so many miserable, unhappy, depressed people out there. They flock to these things. Health talks will be given. Publications will be multiplied. Many will advance step by step to receive the special truths for this time, the soul-saving truths, so that they'll know what to do when these issues come up. Thus, truth and righteousness meet together. Our program is very gentle. It's very positive. And so it's very healing to churches that have had division and fracture over some of these issues. These are people in the breakout session. Every book, every chapter has little worksheets at the end, which are, there's Eric right there. Look at that trim guy. That's Eric. And every book has worksheets that the people do. They go home, they get chapters to read, they do the worksheets, they look up the scriptures if they can. You don't look up the scriptures during your program in your breakout session because many people do not know how to find anything in their Bible, even when they're belong to other churches. So we don't want to embarrass people, we don't want to put them on the spot, but the facilitator helps folks to go through some of these concepts and introduce them to some of these great concepts that are grounded in science and the Bible. And here are some people enjoying that process. And we have found that we have many different things to do in the program. It begins with a welcome and a tasting and mingling, and then there's a video clip and a discussion, and then there's a lifestyle feature with handouts, and then there's a PowerPoint, then there's a discussion group. And so there's lots of different ways that we appeal to different types of learners, and lots of different things going on that are quite easy. But we have found that the two parts of the program that people seem to enjoy the most are the lifestyle features, which you've had a chance to experience some of that when we've done our fat and sugar thing. And we have one of those every night, the balloon with the candles. We have an interactive time there, and then these little breakout sessions that are 6 or 8 people per group. People just love those. You can hardly get them to go home. And why these topics? Why have we developed one whole module? This is 4 evenings on stress, depression, and immune function. One whole evening on mood, memory, learning, and behavior. One whole evening on overcoming the addicted brain and how to maintain long-term success. Well, we've seen these quotes. The mind is seriously affected by what we eat and drink. Erroneous eating and drinking lead to erroneous thinking and acting. Ellen White says, if you want to elevate the moral standard in any country, begin with health. Can what you eat influence mental function, nutrition reviews? Yes, it is certainly affirmative. So science again. Repeated poor food choices set fundamental patterns in the production of brain chemicals that actually regulate appetite and mood so that you become a victim of mood swings, food cravings, poor sleep habits, and other emotional problems because of poor eating habits. You see, people can't feel what's going on in their vessels, but they can identify fatigue, depression, tension, lack of energy, and that's what we appeal to. But you know, food really is only part of the picture. And we've learned that this week, haven't we? The relation that exists between the mind and the body is very intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. Many of the diseases which men suffer are the result of mental depression, grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust. All tend to break down the life forces and invite decay and death. Courage, hope, faith, sympathy, love promote health and prolong life. A contented mind, a cheerful spirit is health to the body and strength to the soul. And so we try to help people to make that connection. By the way, have you enjoyed the handouts that you've received this week? All the handouts that you've received are from these notebooks. And they're already there for you so that you have the handouts that you need and the discussion points on those handouts as you share with people. This is John Rady, a neuropsychiatrist from Harvard University, just underscoring exactly what Ellen White just said. Critics sometimes claim that a focus on ordinary measures like exercise and diet is too simplistic to affect unordinary behavior. Not so. The brilliantly simple evidence from exciting new arenas of physical and social science shows how powerful such universal factors can be in affecting the brain-body system. There are many tools right at our fingertips for changing our mental health. Have we been looking at those tools this week? Both in correcting our problems and simply in becoming the kind of person that we want to be. Dr. Rady is probably going to go down in history as one of the foremost behavioral neuroscientists of the 21st century. And when I read his book, User's Guide to the Brain, he has a, I believe he has a Catholic background, but is now an atheist. He writes his, well, I don't know if he's an atheist, but let me put it this way. He writes his materials from an evolutionary point of view. But of course, much of what he is saying, the raw science, is in perfect harmony. It's like a template of what Ellen White has been saying. And so I began praying for this man 2 years ago because I use some of his quotes in our books. They're phenomenal statements. And they're just exactly in harmony with scriptures. And I, before I ever got into all this glorious work, I used to repossess cars. When Dane and I first got married, and I skip traced on bad checks, so I'm really good at tracking people down and finding stuff. And I decided that I wanted to find this man. And so I actually got his phone number. I found his phone number the information that I needed to contact him with. Well, just recently I was able to get in touch with him. He's an old man and an older man. And because of all the attention he's getting with CNN and Fox and public radio, and he doesn't even know what to do. He's a little tweety professor at a university, and everybody wants a piece of him now. Well, I sent him our materials, and I said that I wanted to pay tribute to him for how he has contributed to the whole paradigm of healing that we have put together in our programs. And he hired a marketer, and she happens to be a Christian. And he's also written an amazing book on ADD called Driven to Distraction. He was one of the pioneers of just figuring out this disorder. And so, lo and behold, she got hold of our stuff and saw it. Because he saw the look of these materials, and he said, "Man, this is beautiful stuff." He said, "But I've done my charity work." Apparently, he's been ripped off by some Christians. But she saw this material, and so she contacted me just a couple of 2-3 weeks ago, and she said, "What can we do to convince Dr. Rady to do something with you?" And I said, "Well, what we would really like to do is go down to Boston and shoot some TV programs with him and incorporate his messages into our programs that we're developing for our churches to use. Okay, because we can wrap it with all of our stuff, right? Isn't that just beautiful?" And she said, "Well, let's see what we can do. Let's pray about it." And we did, because she wants his soul for God. She said, "He's done too much good to go to hell." That's her words. Anyway, lo and behold, next month we're going out to shoot 4 TV programs with this man. God has worked a miracle. I started praying for him a year ago. I said, "God, he's saying too much truth to be left out of the kingdom." And I have to just say, God is so amazing. He can reach from the halls of Ivy League. Ellen White says we will stand before kings with our message. And so God is going to do something amazing. My special burden. What is her special burden? My special burden. I am just a lay person. And you are too. But my special burden, she says, is to arouse the layman in the church to action, that every individual shall sense his duty to become a worker together with God. That's why I have these pink sheets here for the Balance magazine, that on the back it says all the different ways you can use these things. So you can get busy with this. This is a very shy girl by the name of Glenda, just so shy. She's talking to another shy lady. Why do you think that shy lady would be attracted to her? Because she's not bombastic. God needs every kind of personality in this work. We are not cookie cutters of each other. This is our dietitian, Evelyn, just sharing some wonderful things. This is that health fair in Ohio, and they're handing out samples to the people in this place. That's Sharon when she was quite a bit bigger. And that's one of the volunteers who just can't seem to stay out of the food she's supposed to be serving, but she's having a good time herself, and that is perfectly fine. The work of God on earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work. Friends, I don't even make a difference between Adventists and non-Adventists anymore. When we go to churches and we do this program, you can't tell the difference between Adventists and community members. We all need to grow. We all need to gain traction in our experience. We shouldn't say only Adventists came, or whatever the scenario is. When we held a training session for 125 lay people in Michigan, I may have told you this, I don't think I did. Did I tell you there was one pastor and his wife there way up in Michigan in a rural area, and they have three churches and they could not get any of their church members to sign on board to do the Simple Solutions program. So he and his wife came to the training, this lay training, and they decided that they were going to hold Simple Solutions program in all three of their churches, because we blitzed the state. These 125 lay people held Simple Solutions program at 100 sites all throughout the state, all at the same time. It was incredible. Well, there were 17 non-Adventists that came to their first meeting in this little dinky town. And they were so ecstatic, and when these non-Adventists heard that the church members were not helping them with the other two locations, they volunteered. They volunteered to come and help at the other two locations, and they've had baptisms as a result. And unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers. This can and must be a uniting work. Remember that wonderful vision in Joel chapter 2 where the people are marching in their rank, all in their spot on the wall, and they're all going forward? This isn't about competition with other ministries. It's about unity. It's about moving forward. We don't want to have a scarcity mentality. The spiritual life of the church can only be kept alive as who? Members make personal efforts to win souls to Christ. Friends, it's not about more earthquakes and calamities. It's about us getting interested. Remember, evangelism is a process, not an event. Demonstrate Christ-like love. Be warm and accepting. Encourage, encourage, encourage. Never criticize. You have not been in that person's skin. Dedicate a special Sabbath to health. Involve your church, canvas, door-to-door. You can have these health programs and supper clubs, walking clubs. This is from a magazine called The Brain. It's a Scientific American magazine, and it was a study. It was an article that I read, and it's called "Why People Don't Change." That captivated my attention. Helping people change involves helping people want to change, rather than cajoling them through advice, persuasion, or social pressure.
Is there a Miss Ruckel here? A Miss Ruckel? Or Mrs. Ruckel, if there is, we need you in the back immediately. Excuse me, immediately.
In the medical emergency. Okay, Mrs. Ruckel. Okay, anyway, there is a difference between social pressure and social modeling. Isn't there a difference? It's a big difference. We learn through social modeling. Research has demonstrated that highly directive, confrontational styles are likely to backfire, interestingly enough, in about a year. And that's by a year. Usually most people that have gone through lifestyle programs are back into their old thing. leading to significantly poorer outcomes 1 year later than more supportive styles. Ellen White said it this way, do not drive the people, lead them. People are not fix-it projects. We want to bring people into the atmosphere of His grace and love so that they can be motivated to change or to improve their lives. These are people enjoying the materials. Is it time for this work? What do you think? Intemperance of every kind is taking the world captive, and those who are true educators at this time will have their reward. Now is our time. Now is our opportunity to do a blessed work. Now, brethren and sisters, is it not time for us to work? Is it not time for us to arouse our God-given capabilities? God-given capabilities to catch holy zeal that we have not had as yet? And is it not time that we should stand as Caleb's, come to the front, raise our voices, and cry out against the reports that are going out all around us? Are we not able to possess the land? We are able in God to do a mighty work upon the point of temperance. You know, some of the reports out there are just unbelievable. Have you heard of this? And the bondage that it puts people in. You've heard of this blood type diet? Have you heard of that? The blood type diet. When I first heard about that, I said, a man had to have written that book. I am sorry. Can you imagine a woman, a mother, a busy mother, getting in the kitchen and making 6 different recipes for 6 different bloods? It's just nuts. When we give ourselves wholly to God and in our work follow His directions, this is what happens. He makes Himself responsible for its accomplishment. What do you think about that? When we started this work, it was going to only be little pamphlets that you could put in your shirt pocket. But look what God has done. He makes Himself responsible for its accomplishment. He would not have us conjecture as to the success of our honest endeavors. Are we going to make mistakes? You know what the worst mistake in evangelism is? The worst mistake in evangelism is not making mistakes. That's the worst mistake. And the people that make the worst mistakes in your program, be sure and use them the next time because they will have learned something. Not once should we even think of failure. We are to cooperate with one who knows no failure. That's why we call this evangelism in a box. 4 meetings over 2 weeks. 4 meetings over 2 weeks. 6 meetings over 3 weeks. These are short, what are called low intensity, high impact programs. They're inexpensive. They're easy to attend, fun to put on, and that's the whole purpose, is that everybody doesn't get worn out. These are the books and topics. Those are the magazines. This is part of God's closing work, this and programs like It's My Own Bag. Can you imagine delivering bags, to having it for like a singles mother's group and just blending these things and using the resources that are available to just begin to make a difference in your community. Don't you want to see your parking lot filled at your local church, different days of the week? All right, well, we're going to quit now. We're going to take just a few moments for questions, if you have any questions, and we'll let you out early. Yes. Okay. Yes, there's a... on the website, you go to our website, lifestylematters.com, and it talks about implementing a program in 12 easy steps. And what we've done for you is we have a training DVD in here, plus a multimedia CD that has all of the PowerPoint programs scripted, but we also went to a TV studio, did all the PowerPoint programs, all the lifestyle features so that you could show them if you don't want to do the program yourself, or you can watch it to learn. And so implementing the steps, planning, picking out a building, you know, whatever it is you're going to do, whatever you need, your help, it's all here. Advertising is all done for you. All the steps for getting ready and how to put it together are there for you. Doesn't matter which one you start with. A lot of people start with the stress one because it's because everybody and their brother are stressed. College campuses. I mean, you know, think about it. What wouldn't work on a college campus? Which one of these wouldn't work? So, you know, depending on what your area is, what you think you will generate interest, we don't advertise this as an addictions program. We advertise it as overcoming bad habits, negative attitudes, building a better brain, you know, overcoming cravings. And so you're going to draw more people that way. And most of the people we get are involved with food issues, diabetes, you know, that kind of thing, and smoking. Okay. Although there was a crack addict that was baptized recently from the program. Anybody else have a question? How many of you are encouraged and inspired and motivated? Good. All right. I want you to be very joyful today because the Sabbath is coming. And did you know in the old Jewish tradition it was unlawful to be sad on the Sabbath because the Sabbath is just such an amazing day. So as we approach the Sabbath, as we enter into the Sabbath, we want to remember that God is in the business of taking nothing and making something out of it. Your church may be fractured. You may think you don't have any gifts. But I tell you what, you get moving and going and you just watch the troops rally. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to even mention all of that. Yeah, we have what we have done, we're so evangelism-minded in Michigan that every box, every kit comes not only with this notebook, but it also comes with the DVD, an audio book, so that you can take advantage of audio, Automobile University. The DVD, you'll show a segment every night. Plus, there's a cookbook with 8 different health lectures in the back for your supper clubs, and also the textbook. Now, all these 4 items, you can turn around and sell to the participants that come to your program. And we've had people come and buy 6 or 7 books. Like you heard the girl say, my mom couldn't come. She went and bought 3 for her friends. And it was amazing how many books we got out as a result of that. But what we do is we sell them all of these items, which are consumer products. You see, the program is a service, but we also want to have products for people because we know it will change hands when it gets home. So you buy these things in little packets of 5, and we treat you like you're a retail store. We sell them to you wholesale so that you can fund your program. Does that make sense? Isn't that great? So you don't have to conduct begathons every single time you want to have a program. You can actually fund what you're doing. Well, our pastor in the inner city in Grand Rapids who held the Foods for Thought program, this book is $25. At that time, it was $20. The price of paper has gone up, and we also added some things to the book. But we sold him these books wholesale for $12. And so he charged $10 for these folks to come from the inner city. And he had 80 people come. 80 people came to his meeting who had never had any nutrition information, probably had never been to a church program like that in their lives. One woman got her child off Ritalin in 2 weeks. It was just an amazing experience. So you can either charge more of a price for your program or charge it at the cost that you get the books for. All right. Anybody else have a question? Yes. Yes. Oh, supper club. What is a supper club? A supper club is just a time you get together every month. It's an alumnus meeting for people that have been through the program. And so you get together, you eat together, you maybe have a theme, a color theme, and you have a presenter, or you just have table talks using the little things that we provide. And we give you tips on how to run supper clubs. They're simple, and they're just a lot of fun. It's someplace that people can bring their neighbors and their friends as they're learning a new way of life and being incorporated into a new social milieu. That has to happen for change to occur, not just information. It has to happen. Okay. This is 6 meetings. This one is 4 meetings. This one is 4 meetings. Okay, so they're short, but they're lots of fun. We want the people to wish it was longer. That's our whole purpose. Okay, we are going to let you out a few minutes early. We have 1 more question, and this is the last one. Well, that's the way we designed it. People like to come twice a week for 2 weeks, or you can do once a week for 4 weeks, depending on whatever you want to do. You can do a one-day thing. I do these programs at the medical school. I've had some of the stuff at different public schools. It's just great. It's very versatile. You can use it the way you want. All righty. Well, you've all been a great blessing to me this week. I want you to have a really blessed Sabbath and think about what you can do in the Lord's army so that you won't lose the blessing. Remember what Tony Hall said. You can't keep it unless you give it away. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we have been able to have together. We thank you that as the Sabbath approaches, that you can create a vision in our own hearts and put that urgency that has to be there in order for us to even maintain our own walk with you. So I do pray that you would create that urgency. Give us confidence and help us to realize that our own walk with you is tied up in this work. We thank you for all the faithful people that have been involved in ministry that are displaying here at this campus. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2008, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.